call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Oh, okay. Well, the full mailbox was only one day. I guess that's good news. I have really no idea. But anyway, a couple pieces of news. One, first, the baby arrived. I mentioned Chris's third grandchild was induced this morning and apparently is in the arms of the girl's parents. They have now three girls. So it's Neely, Harper, and an undisclosed name. They apparently said they'll know the name when they see her. So Chris just told me that we heard her, but he doesn't know. See, it's being a grandfather. You don't have quite that direct interaction. But at least the difference is he's anticipating this weekend that he will be home and he'll be able to hold his grandchild as he's done with his other two. And it remains that I have three grandchildren also. Never held a one. But anyway, one other thing that I think is vital, because I'm sure you've been wondering about this unless you figured it out already. I mentioned about the kind of bomb that was used that killed people from radiation but didn't have that much. It's the neutron bomb. I was wondering about that for a long time. Obviously this is one of the important things in life, isn't it? But because it does concern me about the attitude behind that. The objective there is not to destroy property but kill people. The tendency to destruction, because one of the things I thought about in thinking that is there is the destructive nature, and the thing that I think about, because it's rarely discussed, is the firebombing specifically of Dresden, although it was done with many other cities, but apparently Dresden was the worst, and Tokyo in World War II, where the U.S. or the Allies would firebomb these cities, and they did the double tap, where they would go firebomb it, and I think typically at night, because obviously it's harder to manage things and whatnot, because you don't have the sunlight to deal with. You're dealing with darkness also. And then the following day you did it again, the double tap, because as people are trying to recover, you hit them again when they're weak. That's called cruel. And that is... I see that in the U.S. clearly, and because obviously I mentioned things like the SAMS thing, which is cruelty to the max, and how we as a country do those kind of things domestically and around the world. But it's not unique to the U.S. I would suggest it is a characteristic of government. Where have you read where governments will do things that are very cruel? Oh, that's right. 1 Samuel 8. The Lord knew about this beforehand. Wow. What an amazing thought. But anyway, two other things. One is, I mentioned that as I was taking my delightful hike yesterday, that an email arrived from Julia. And there's been an interaction. You know what it's like for a dad to interact with a child for the first time with any child I had some interaction with Erica Lee, because she asked about photos, and there's a whole bunch more photos online. I try to make it a discipline to put more photos online every day. So there's a lot of photos online, a lot. But actual dialogue, no. And then I got a little hint of because obviously I got the two emails from Isaac that were less than appropriate. And they were motivation for me, because I did respond, because I did the for the second one, because I've been mulling this over because of the history when we were together, because of things that have happened since, and because of current events, came up with the idea of Black Families Matter. And, you know, it was kind of like, well, so what? Who cares? That was the motivation to actually do that video. I did the artwork and whatnot. It's fascinating to me because, it was one of my lower view counts on BitChute, and I got 2 downvotes, which I actually found encouraging because, you know, it was Black Families Matter, and it's specifically from a Christian perspective. But the other thing is, you know, I did the art. I took the idea of the Black Lives Matter, and I did the same thing, except replace lives with families, put the art so you can download it from kosolsky.org. But one of the places I get some of the art that I use for Shofar Nexus and other things is from a place called why can't I think of the name? I'm really troubled now. Why can't I think of the this is horrible. It is, there it is, Open Clip Art. It's an organization, it's been around for ages, what they do is simply, it's all public domain. Vector-based clip art, you know, SVG files, which obviously everybody's familiar with, right? But I use them. I use them a lot, and I've used them I use them as is, some I've used to remix, and a lot of the art you see on Shofar Nexus is done with that. You know, then even the art that's used with, for example, in the in the voicemails, voicemail from Monday, and especially because you can see it more clearly on January 17th, I have 4 COVID viruses and a guy going in panic. Those were 2 different clip arts that I used, and I simply put it together to make that because. But anyway, the whole point of this was I used that group, and because I wanted, a couple of years ago, I wanted to write a note of encouragement because there's a comment section on there, but you have to be, you know, have to have a, you know, be a member, you know, obviously it's just a freebie thing. So I signed up in order to comment on a particular person's artwork because I was really encouraged by what he did and I wanted him to know it, whoever it was. And I don't remember what the art was now. Because again, it's become very conscious in my mind when I see something that somebody does and I have an opportunity to encourage, I strive to encourage because I really think that is vital. But because I had the account, it gave me the ability to upload art. So if you go to openclipart.org, and you look up Black Families Matter, you'll get the artwork from me. So it's there. And the important aspect of it is there's a comment on that artwork, my artwork. And apparently someone who is highly involved with Open Clip Art said, you know, it's been how many years and you finally uploaded something? Because, you know, again, I did it for a comment, not to upload. But then he said, great start. So I found that an encouragement. Because, again, the Black Lives Matter organization, they were in the news today, yesterday, because of millions of dollars being stolen. Because they are a Marxist organization. That was one of the big points in the video. They are a Marxist organization. Their objective is to destroy the family. I mean, it's not, can we decide that? They say it right outright. It's a Marxist organization designed to destroy, their objective is to destroy the family, which is the purpose of Marxism. And I take the opposite, you know, that's the whole point of Black Families Matter, because I go into that, I won't do it again. But anyway, so that was part of the motivation, was Isaac's, it was the second email. And of course I did the previous one with him and It was really James and mine, because I did a video to James a long time ago, concerned about, because when I looked at him as a very young child, still very much a baby, and I saw that and I thought about, what is it going to be like? Because again, I interact with people. There is the community I'm in. There are three distinct groups. There's us white folk, there's a distinct black folk, and a distinct Hispanic community. All three here, you know, one house to the next, it's different. And you can see where, obviously, the similar will frequently gather together, but there's also interactions in between, including, because obviously, I interact with a whole bunch of Hispanic people in my neighborhood, as well as several black people in my neighborhood. But you know, there is the concern about the destruction of the family, and I was concerned what James would see as he grew up. You know, obviously Charlotte too, but when I looked at James, it hit hard. So I did the thing that what I did is I did something for him and later put a preface on that and put it online on BitChute and whatnot. And, well, I'm curious. Why not do it again, as I've done so often before? Check to see. You know, the Black Families Matter, like I say, it really hasn't gone over well. 161 views, which is, you know, not that big of a deal. But the other one's called N-Words, and it's here somewhere, unless I've passed it already. N-Words, yes. So that's got 346 views, although it's been there for, year and a half. But the point of it is, I've been, you know, I'm also trying to be a student of languages, the way languages are used. You know, it gets to the point of the way we use language, particular words, in order to be offensive. You know, obviously there's the profanity aspect, but there is the idea of taking the word that we see in the Bible, Acts 13, you know, nigger, and which means dark or black, and frequently you'll see it's translated to Ethiopia or something of that nature, it's Cush that is sometimes, I think, because the Hebrew version of the same thing, I don't have it off the top of my head, but the point is, people will take that word, which has no offense to it, and turn it into offense. It's just like right now, calling somebody whitey. Hey, I'm a whitey. But in the context of today, it can be offensive. It's offensive only if the person who is saying it is meaning it to be offensive. And that was part of the point. It's fascinating to me, well, even here, and I think it's because of the title, because the title has the word YouTube in it. But I did the 346 views on BitChute of the N-Words video, and it's the day later, I did another one, YouTube Lifts Age Restrictions, which talks about the fact that YouTube age-restricted that video because I used the word nigger. And I wrote them and said, this shouldn't be, because my objective is to make sure the young black man and the young white man are not offended by that term and not feel they are devalued, because a black man and a white man are both human beings created in the image of God. It is not skin color that matters. You're human beings created in the image of God. And they remove the age restriction. You know, YouTube has a reputation of once you're flagged, you're flagged. They removed it, and I have almost double the amount of people watched that video compared to the N-Words video, which I really find fascinating. But again, it could be somebody sees YouTube, so they do a quick look and they see the first few seconds and disappear. But that's, anyway, details. But my objective was I wanted to impact my grandson. Just like I'm trying, because I've done it face to face with a young black guy here in town. You know, told him the stupidity behind the misuse of the word nigger. And it is a misuse. And the joy was he and the white guy that was with him, they both agreed with me. And I was really pleased with that, because that gives me hope for the next generation. Because so many people will crawl in their corner and say, oh, don't use that word. I'm offended. I need to crawl. I'm a snowflake. It really concerns me. These people are minions, and they have no hope. Where somebody can say, you know, I try to point out, you can call me foul things or you can give me tremendous praise. Either one does not change who I am. So you have to have the strength of character to know your own character and then work on your own character. It's not what other people call you. It's what you are. But, you know, this was my objective. My point was James at the time. And then, of course, I made it public. And this all relates to back to... going back to the conversation with Julia. Boy, I'm getting distracted. So pop up the stack a little bit. Conversation I had with Julia today. Because I sensed there was an issue. Because for anyone who's paying attention, I did mention where I saw Julia wearing a Chick-fil-A badge on her shirt. And was concerned that was indicative of a problem. I also saw some information when I was trying to find an address, because I wanted to send her a card, and I found it was back in North Carolina. And that was strange, because the address of Julia moving to North Carolina, then Isaac was several months later. And so this information is very indirect, and so I can't take any serious assumption from it. But it's just a hint. But of course, that hint suggests things. And then, of course, the follow-up was Isaac's less than appropriate images, and of course, then there's the I don't know what's happening to my own family, which is a real concern. But I think it's because I did do, you know, on the Promise site, I've started to put more images beyond the card. You know, the image of the card is there, but I also have done images of people, and I don't know if it's there. I don't see it, or maybe it's the family site itself. The image that I use for Isaac. Okay, it's not. Anyway, the image I used for Isaac is a crop version of the photo he sent me. And I did that on purpose. But anyway, what she did is she confirmed that Isaac has abandoned her. This is my girl. So let me state something that I have, I'm pretty sure I've stated previously here or somewhere else, but let me state it again. There was the occasion where I went to visit Julia and Isaac in North Carolina before their marriage ceremony. And we had a delightful time. I spent a couple days in a hotel there. We shared several meals together. One was at the Asahi restaurant in Greensboro, the place where I had my first date with my wife. And I had the joy of taking Isaac and Julia there. Actually, it was Isaac, Julia, and Charlotte. Because while we were there in the restaurant, during our conversation, we talked fairly provocatively on some things, and at one point, Julia needed to go to the bathroom. So Isaac and I were there alone, and we had some conversation, and he told me at that point, very frankly, that the sex act had occurred in couch terms, and I did express to him at that point that I assumed that. And it, like I say, I think my assumption is, and I guess I'd have to check the dates, that Charlotte was there at that meal. I'd have to check the dates. So I assumed that, and I did express, even to Jim Cross, that Isaac showed more courage than Jim Cross does, because he was willing to be frank and open with me. Jim Cross runs in the corner. He hides. He's not man enough to engage me. Yes, and again, I'll use the word that I use frequently because I find it in the Bible. It's cowardly. But he did that. And I found that an encouragement. That actually gave me hope because he was willing to speak the truth. However, that was tempered by what happened about an hour before that. Because before we went to the restaurant, we sat at a park nearby and had a short walk and a conversation. And Julia and Isaac were sitting on a bench, and I was standing, I recall. And we were talking, and I asked them, because I ask a whole lot of questions during that visit. And I asked Julia about her relationship with Isaac. And I looked at her when she responded. And the way she responded, she told about her commitment to Isaac. And what I saw in her is a commitment clearly stated to Isaac. And I found that delightful. I found that encouraging. And then I listened to Isaac answer the same question. And he gave me a political response. He did not show that in-depth commitment to Julia. And as a dad, in my head, I was screaming. But I showed no reaction. Because my assumption was, and then, like I say, an hour or so later, Isaac confirmed, it's academic. Because as I will contend, marriage begins with sex and ends with death. I didn't explain it as clearly at that time, but again, right now, I can defend this, and I can defend it really solid from the scripture. But then, of course, you actually have to believe that the scripture is God's word and he means what he says, and willing to engage it and not find I'll go in that in a moment. But that's I saw that. I saw Isaac give me that political response, and then I saw the boldness he had to actually tell me the truth. And I was hoping that the truth guy would be one that wins out, not the political guy I saw beforehand, and apparently that's what has happened. The political guy has won out. And that concerns me. So my hope for Isaac still is repentance. And I know he doesn't have, I know that she doesn't have the model set before her by her mom. 1 Corinthians 6, Romans 7 is unambiguous. She is bound to Isaac as long as Isaac is alive. She has no option unless she wants to say, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm going to change your rules for my life. I'm not going to obey you. Because obedience to Christ means you're bound to your husband as long as your husband is alive. Julie is bound to Isaac, as Dorothy Jane is bound to me. Considering the walk I did yesterday, I may be alive for a whole lot longer. Or, you know, not end of the day. But anyway, the whole point is, you have to say, no, Lord, you are not the authority. I am. And therefore, I can walk away from a marriage. That's the only way you can do it. But if you listen to the Lord, if the Lord is your Lord, not you or an institution, but the Lord Jesus Christ, if he is your Lord, marriage begins with sex and ends with death. Julie is bound to Isaac, period. If Isaac is an absolute foul jerk and destined to be toast, that does not give Julie an excuse to find another. Because as I point out with Jack, my hope for Jack, who's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10, is verse 11, and such were some of you. My hope for Isaac is the same. And I've even said that in the past. My hope for Isaac is the Lord, not him, but the Lord will grant him repentance. That is his only hope. And in a real sense, Julia's only hope. But anyway, I am concerned for my Julia. Because she's my Julia. She's my girl. And I love my girl. As I do with Tirza, who seems to be, as far as I know, very much into the world. And obviously, Eric Lee, who is directly stated, she rejects Christ. I have no idea about Susanna and Gloria Jane. One of the things, because I found yet another, I put up another thing from Gloria Jane today, because I, you know, Gloria Jane's my girl. From 2014. February 19th, 2014. Dear Dad, I hope Valentine's Day was good. How are you? I hope you have a good day. Love, Glory Jane. And then she has some writing that it's hard to read, but fortunately my wife put a little post-it on there. It says, have you heard of Newsboys? Do you know that Newsboys are my favorite band? Oh, did you know that I got a new pen? And then, of course, there is a drawing to Dad from GJ. Glory Jane's my girl. I haven't seen her in almost a decade. She's my girl. And I want my Glory Jane and my Susanna to understand little issues like marriage begins with sex and ends with death. Their mom does not. She specifically says she disagrees with that. Jim Cross disagrees with that. He turned to the Talmud. And yes, that angers me. To point to a man who uses the Talmud and say, I'm a Christian and I'm giving you evidence from the Talmud. Do you have any idea what you've done? There is a little passage you might be familiar. No, you're probably not familiar with, because I doubt you ever read the Gospels. Mark chapter 7, verse 7. This is the LSV. And in vain they worship me. Teachings, commandments of men. That's a hard read. Let's use the ESV. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. That is a direct statement by the Lord Jesus Christ, our Creator, that the verbal things that were going on, which were written down a couple hundred years later, is exactly what he's talking about. He's talking about the Talmud, before it was written, he's talking about the Talmud. For somebody to do that a couple hundred years before it's actually put on pen to paper, that's because that was our Creator who said that. And for a man who says, I'm an elder in the PCA, and I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I use the Talmud or refer to it, to say I'm concerned is an understatement. And to be the one who is involved in getting this dad and husband out of the house, you, sir, should be more than ashamed of yourself. And I will again call you to repentance, because what you're doing is absolutely disgusting. Boy, getting long again. That kind of role model will lead a woman I love and adore to say, I will turn to the state and I'll get the state decreed divorce, and I will state that marriage does not begin with sex and end with death, and I will not contend from Scripture, and I will state that Jesus is the Redeemer. But as I point out, yes, that's true, but he's the Redeemer of his elect, not of those who simply say Jesus is the Redeemer. How do you know you're part of his elect? He says specifically, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. My wife isn't. Jim Cross isn't. Do you think this is a concern? These are people I love and care for, especially my wife. And she's been led astray by Jim Cross, by the institutional church leadership, like Chris Bitterman, who has deceived, and I've demonstrated that. I'm a little concerned, as you might tell. Because I saw what's happened to my Julia. I saw what's happened to my Erica Lee. I saw what's happened to George. Jack. I'm concerned for my Tirza because I'm out of the picture. I've seen what's happening to Julia, and I do hope and pray that her trust is still in the Lord. That even as she sees her life crushed in front of her, she's clinging to our Creator. She has no other hope than our Creator. That model is not set before her by her mom and grandfather, but it is by her dad. Because I will contend, marriage begins with sex and ends with death. I will point out from Scripture, when anybody wants to take me on, that's true. And I won't turn away from you. If you ask me a question, I'll give you an answer. I won't turn a cold heart to you, like the leadership of Meadowview Covenant Presbyterian, North Hills Christian School. Cold hearts. And as I've described in the past, if you turn away, if you don't answer, you're hating, which the Lord says directly, you are a cold-hearted killer, and you have no hope. You're toast. His words, not mine. Well, my summation of his words. But again, I'll back that up. I have backed that up. I'm concerned for my Julia. My Julia is important to me. And I love that girl. I love that girl. I've had yet more interaction on the Luke 16, and I want to go in depth on that, but this is long. And my Julia is the important one. And of course, my Gloria Jane. Oh, it's a pretty picture that I... And Susanna. I want to reach them. You know, again, I sent roughly 10 postcards to George. It would not surprise me one bit he didn't see a single one of them. I sent out a stack of DVDs from the voicemail of... Oh, what voicemail was it? Anyway, I sent out a stack of DVDs. You know, nice thing is I have notes now on this stuff. I did a bunch of stuff to George, and again, my assumption is he doesn't get any of it. He's just simply isolated from his dad by his mom, the woman I love. Anyway, whichever DVD it was I sent, I forget. I sent out a bunch of them, and I have no doubt they went in the trash, because I did send it out to Metaview, to Chris Bitterman, to Render Canes, to Covenant Presbyterian, to Jim Cross, and of course to my family. And the interesting thing is, oh, it's on the Luke 16, of course. It's there because all right, the notes, if you go to that, I have the images of the DVDs right there. Render Canes, Chris Bitterman, George Sayor, Covenant Presbyterian, Metaview Church, and Jim Cross. And my family was sent that previously. George was sent that. So it's right there. The evidence is right there. I mean, because these are handwritten and the pictures are right there. See, unlike those who will say something and then run in the corner, I'm willing to offer evidence. A great example, because you may or may not be, because I did some checking. the coverage of the truck convoy that went across from various places in Canada, but obviously the one that went from all the way from the west to the east, that was the longest one, and they arrived in Ottawa, and they're still there, and apparently they plan to stay there for a while, because this is a fight. But you know, just before they arrived, the Trudeau, the Prime Minister, I tested positive for COVID-19. So he ran into a corner. He's self-isolating to protect others. And he has earned the name now, and I've heard a lot of people say this now, he's got Coward 19. And because it fits. Because here is, as he described it, this fringe group, small minority, they've apparently got it themselves now entered in the Guinness Book of World Records for the longest convoy in history. And it wasn't that they beat the previous one by, 10% or whatnot. Several times larger. It's the largest convoy in history. Because obviously, when you use a big truck, it takes up a lot of room. Because it went for, I don't know how many miles, of trucks. I mean, it's huge. And it's fascinating because I've seen the evidence of this before, and a number of people said there'll be provocateurs in the crowd, and indeed, because there's this one gentleman who was clearly the provocateur in the January 6th event of a year ago, because a lot of people showed him on camera video, this guy's he's getting people to turn violent. And he was called out several times. And there's so many others in various incidents where there's solid evidence of provocateurs. FBI does this constantly. You know, one of the big ones, we don't want to talk about this, do we? You know, the World Trade Center bombing before they were brought down in 2001, 93 or whatnot, where we had the bombing of the World Trade Center. Where did the bomb come from? It was provided for, literally provided for by the FBI. It's called being a provocateur. I mean, but of course, we don't want to talk about that. But anyway, there was a guy in this trucker rally in Ottawa walking through the crowd with a flag with a swastika on it. The crowd called him out. And he disappeared. And so there's some, because he put a mask, I mean, he was completely covered, so he couldn't be identified. And then he left because he knew he was in the wrong place. But what happened? The crowd called him out. He disappeared. But people got pictures of this guy with this Nazi flag in the crowd. And I saw it in Al Jazeera, and I don't know anywhere else. But, and I think stating that there were Nazi sympathizers or something of that nature, and of course racists, obviously racists, in the crowd, and they used that. So you have this one person who the crowd rejected, but the news media will point to. It's called deception. And there is the one thing about the racist thing. There's one guy, and they got an ideal guy, a trucker. Solid black, not this light gray one, a solid black man with the dreadlocks hair. I mean, down to, you know, for quite long. A guy you would say, this is a black man. And he said clearly, unambiguously, in a very clear, you know, a very articulate voice, very good English, I saw no racism here. Not among the white people here. Saw no racism here. So a black man says that. So who's calling it racist? The white man who's known to wear blackface. I mean, it's just the politics is amazing. The deception is amazing. And how many people fall for it? You take that same deception idea. Do you think the institutional church is any different? Of course not. Why is Trudeau hiding? He's afraid. He's afraid for his life. Literally. Why did Chris Bitterman hide? Because he said, apparently, Jim Cross said that he said to him, he was afraid for his life because of me. There was no threat by me. There's no threat by anybody in this crowd to Trudeau. But you got to put that facade up. That's what give you the excuse to send the police, as Trudeau has sent his military to protect him. Chris Bitterman sent the Cleveland police to intimidate me because he is a, get this word, a coward. When a man tries to seek reconciliation with you in obedience to Christ, and you run in a corner and hide, and you offer silence, you are a cold-blooded killer. This applies to Jim Cross, Render Keynes, Chris Bitterman. And it does seem my wife. So what does a man do? Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. And I'm going to try to respond in love. Because if any one of these people can respond to me and seek reconciliation with me as I'm trying to seek with them, you want to reflect Christ well? That's the way to do it. The door's open for them. And I'm asking, You may remember the Genesis 42:21, when we saw the distress in his soul, when he begged us, and we would not listen. That's what's being lived out right now. It doesn't have to continue. I'm reaching out to anyone. And one of the reasons I want to do this so intently, because I had a dialogue with my Julia today. I want to reach out to her because I love her, as I do with Tirza and Eric Lee and Susanna and Glory Jane, my girls, the girls that I love. And there's one more girl that I love more than all others that I will never turn from. You know this. It's been said over and over again. My lady, my wife, I'm committed to you. In obedience to Christ, I'm stuck with you. But because you have my heart, and I really do love you, I do want you back.